I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Let's go around the NFL in the loop style.
Why are you smiling?
Because I love football.
Brought to you by Quick Assist. Here's John Lopez and Reggie Adetula.
I'm going to tell you all about how much fun you're going to have this season.
On Houston Sports Leader, Sports Radio 610.
Yeah, you're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610. We just did our question today, and what I have learned from that
it's gross.
Is that, yeah, if you are eating at a restaurant, apparently there's a lot more shenanigans happening than you realize. But apparently the real people that it should be in danger are not necessarily the people that are paying customers. It's the coworkers.
Yeah.
I did not realize how many folks did some level of licking or spitting on food with the coworkers that they had. And I was like, oh, okay. And I guess the big lesson that I had was I had a great experience working in food service,
mm-hmm.
because I must have been working with all the Uber professionals. I didn't see half the stuff that y'all just sent in on the 5-Hour Energy fan line, the YouTube, even personally to John Lopez. So shout out to y'all, and vaya con Dios is what I say. Let's go around the NFL here on In the Loop, which is brought to you by Quick Assist. If you're tired of the hassle of selling your tickets, say goodbye to the stress and let their experts get you the best price. Download Quick Assist from your app store today and they'll handle the rest. That's QUICKASYST. Quick Assist, your ticket everywhere. Yes, Toby, never tick off your waitress or waiter. 100%.
Mm-hmm.
Good rules to live by. But another good rule to live by is Thursday night football often is not good, but you know, hallelujah for Al Michaels as he got two back-to-back ones that mm-hmm. were pretty damn good, and including a Thursday night game in division in the NFC East between the two teams vying to actually win that one. It was the Eagles and the Commanders in the greater D.C. area in Landover. And I forget, I'm usually really good about remembering the stadium
names. The stadium names?
Just changed,
I still
want to like
quiz
Northwest
you on this
Stadium
at some point.
Or something like that, or something yeah. like the new name yeah. of that stadium. Regardless, it was baptized by the Philadelphia Eagles. They got a 26-18 victory, and what was a fun one. They got 20 points in that fourth quarter, the Eagles did, including Saquon Barkley scoring twice in
good.
The span of 20 game seconds.
Pretty good.
Yeah. But they will get the leg up on the Commanders. This game will still happen one more time.
Mm-hmm.
Like, this is the first time that they're playing a division, so I'm excited for the second time this comes around because it was really fun to watch this game.
And, you know, the Commanders, boy, they're still looking for that signature win. As good as they are, they're kind of looking for that signature win. They were right there, man. I mean, for the majority of the game, they were right there. They hurt themselves with play calling. They hurt themselves with decision making in the fourth quarter, and they're just not there yet. But I still think they're a pretty dangerous team. They just haven't gotten that one good signature win yet.
Yeah, and I mean, it did. The offense looked a little shaky in some ways.
Disjointed.
Yes, that's a good way to. Jane Daniels, he struggled. His wide receivers just felt like they were swallowed up by the secondary of the Eagles, which mm-hmm. Another testament to the Vic Fangio defense and the way that they handled things. But I think the story of the day, as it has been a lot with the Eagles, is Saquon Barkley. 146 yards, two touchdowns. Both those touchdowns, as I mentioned, coming in the span of 20 game seconds as he scores the touchdown. The Commanders get the ball. Jane Daniels immediately throws an interception. And here comes Saquon again.
Yeah.
Getting a touchdown two plays later. And it's to the point where in the post game, and you got this for me, in the post game, Saquon ends up at the table for the Prime Video broadcast mm-hmm. Thursday Night Football. And this is what the Eagles fans that were at the stadium in Washington or in Maryland started chanting.
Oh,
That feels amazing. It feels amazing. Last year, it was, you know, tough year for me mentally. Did a really good job of.
They love the Cowboys.
I'm gonna stop you for a second. I'm gonna let the crowd take this one. You guys listen at home. They are saying,
Thank you, Giants.
Yep. Appreciate you for letting us know that. It was very loud and clear that they were saying thank you, Giants. And you've got to be sick if you're a Giants fan at this point.
That is right between the eyes. Like that is a kill shot right there. Right between the eyes. And appropriate and fun. And boy, did that have to feel good for Saquon Barkley.
Is there a way to get fired harder than just regular firing? Because it feels like that's what Joe Shane is at right now. Like, just, they're going to fire him in the sun. Yeah. Right? Like, they're just
in the sun.
I don't know how you raise the level of firing, but it feels like that's where Joe Shane is.
And it's the Eagles. It's one thing, okay, he gets traded to the Bucs, you know, and has an incredible
season. Was that game
season.
In Philly?
No, I'm saying, but it was they traded him to the Eagles. The game was in Philly.
Why do I keep thinking it was in?
No, but
that's crazy because I actually watched that game. I don't know how I ended up in that place.
But like, dude,
I feel like I got to put a dollar in the helmet just for being that wrong.
You traded him to the Eagles, and he does this, and the thank you Giants, and everything else. Just awful. I know, by the way, Cliff Kingsbury, man, not exactly a great showing.
Yeah, do you believe in the cliffening starting, right? Like I guess his name is Cliff, right? So it has operated like a cliff where his teams, like in the second half of seasons, like they start off really well. And he is that offense coordinator where it seems like you have innovative things. And then second half of the season, the production just kind of wears off.
You believe
that strongly?
Yes, I do. His offense gets found out. First half of the season, awesome. Second half of the season, found out. And that would be my only worry as a Commanders fan. You know, has this been figured out? The Cliff Kingsbury offense, by the way, started the 2020 season 5-2 with the Cardinals. 3-6 the rest of the year. 2021, 7-0. 3-5 the rest of the year. 2024, now with the Commanders, lost their last two. Figured out.
They put up 27 points against the Steelers. I mean, this one, obviously, you have 18 here. But, yeah, the Cliff Kingsbury experience, I feel like now we're doing the thing where we're trying to do a little confirmation bias. There have been seasons where it does feel like it fell off. And I think that this was a season where, again, it was a game, where it was a disjointed offense. I don't know if I'm ready yet to go the cliffening happening.
I believe it. Because you've seen it. You can go back to college. You can go back to college when he's at Texas Tech. Starting out hot and ending. And by the way, last night, Jaden Daniels threw 32 times. 24 of the 32 pass attempts were within 5 yards of the line of scrimmage. That's too predictable. That's too much. Let's get these guys in space. Yeah, you would like to get guys in space, but 24 out of 32 pass attempts are within 5 yards of the line of scrimmage. That's just giving it to the defense.
Yeah, and fair enough, 2-1. Cliff couldn't scheme Scary Terry open, Terry McLaurin. That's inexcusable. Fair enough. I think that... All right, let me see if this tracks. And you can just tell me, no, Reggie, shut up. You're wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Is this maybe the reason why, for some reason, I was thinking it was a Washington home game? Because C.J. Gardner-Johnson, defensive back for the Eagles, even though he's bounced around, he actually went to the Lions, ended up coming back. He, after the game, was seemingly – he was shouting this in the tunnel.
Washington, respect y'all, but y'all know –
So if you didn't hear that, he said, Washington, I respect y'all, but y'all know this bleep runs through us, speaking of the NFC East. So I guess I got to the place where I thought he was speaking to Washington and he was in Washington. But again, I probably should have remembered that there was like Eagle stuff on the field.
That's the most timid trash talk I've ever heard. Hey, guys,
so?
I really respect you guys, but it runs through us. Like, that's not trash talk. Respect the hell out of you guys. But it does come through us.
Okay. In this game, mind you, Jalen Hurts, who found his groove after a while, mm-hmm. he also was in the concussion protocol for a moment, right, after banging his head on the ground. And it's kind of funny that we don't do the Tua Tagovailoa for all of these dudes whose heads end up getting whipped into the ground. But Jalen Hurts was asked about this in the post game, and he said that he didn't feel any effects after his head hit the ground, which, of course, what is he supposed to say?
Yeah.
And when he was asked about this concussion test, he said, quote, "I guess I beat the protocol." And he said it multiple times. And that, I don't know, I felt a little uncomfortable about that.
I think I would trust what he said. Selective protocol, it seems to be kind of a thing.
Yeah. So, yeah, a fun game on Thursday night, and I think that I need to put it on my schedule. Oh, watch when that one comes back around, because both those teams matched up really well in a fun football game. Some other things around the NFL. For the first time ever, CBS's NFL Today studio show, their pregame, and I guess they do halftime and postgame as well. They're going on the road in the regular season. They'll be in Buffalo, which I'm sure they're super excited about, for the 9-0 Chiefs versus the 8-2 Bills this week, and it's only the fifth time since the merger that two teams with eight or more wins will meet this late in the season, or by week 11, rather.
Yeah.
Does this matter at all to you? Like, when these broadcasts are on location, I was wondering, I was like, do I even really care if they're on location, the pregame or what have you? Does that matter to you at all?
College football. To me, it matters in college football much more than the NFL. Now, Buffalo has about as good an environment as you can have, and I'm quite sure that's why they're going. They want to see the Bills Mafia. They want to see the craziness and go out there and maybe J.J. Watt jumps on a table or something, you know.
J.J. Watt, you think he jumped through a table?
Yeah, he would.
Okay.
Absolutely. 100%. So I think they're trying to just capture that. Because College Game Day has changed the game, so to speak, for everybody, because they're so good at it.
Yeah.
I think that's all this is. They're just trying to capture some of that environment.
All right. Well, we'll see how that ultimately... I feel like I don't end up watching these anymore, like the pre-game shows anymore.
As a rule, I watch 90% of the college and 10% of the, you know, of the NFL.
So enjoy that. Enjoy that if you are interested in the NFL Today CBS pre-game show. They'll be out on location for what should be one of the many really good football games this weekend, particularly in the NFL. This is a news item, or maybe an item that happened that's kind of been, I saw it happen and I didn't realize the full extent of it, and circling back around to it, it's kind of amazing. So this is about Tyrell Dodson, who's a linebacker who is now with the Miami Dolphins, but he was previously with the Seattle Seahawks. He was waived on Wednesday, even though he's the team's leading tackler. So he said, quote, "We're still trying to figure that out when it comes to, like, you know, being claimed off waivers and whatever." He said, "Emotionally, I'm still going through the ups and downs of it. I'm pissed off. I'm very pissed off. I'm going to probably stay pissed off until my career ends years down the road. I'm pissed off." That's the word.
Is
yes,
he
we
mad?
Know.
Is he
yes,
mad?
We know. You said that word quite a bit. I felt uncomfortable saying that word on the air this many times.
Yeah.
Because that, yeah, he said that to the South Florida Sentinel, Sun Sentinel, to get that correct.
Mm-hmm.
But it was weird because he is the leading tackler, and it's not like this is Mike McDonald, the new head coach in Seattle. This is feels like a power struggle of sorts with him and the general manager there, because this is basically they had a couple of linebackers there, one of them being this Tyrell Dodson, and this is a guy who, like I said, he's played a lot for them. He was one of their better linebackers. Maybe just the linebacker play wasn't up to his liking, because he straight up cut that man, waived that man after the trade deadline. Didn't even try and trade him, like waited, cut him straight up, almost as, in my estimation, indication that, yo, these linebackers are not good enough for what I'm trying to do as a defensive coach.
This has all the markings of a player who didn't like and expressed his opinion about the type of defense and or how he was being used. Tyrell Dodson is, by all accounts, a really good dude, really good player. By the way, Giggum, he's an Aggie. And one of these guys that people respect in the locker room. I think in that role, he went at somebody and said, "We've got to do this. You're using us wrong." And head coach has final say in that, and they made a move. This is going to be very interesting to watch, because he's good.
Yeah.
Like, he's really good.
But I also think it's going to be really interesting to watch. Like, you want to watch the player, which I agree with, and see how he affects the Dolphins defense. I want to watch that space with the coach in Seattle, and see just like what that relationship continues to be, because it felt like there was a nice amount of deference given to the head coach up there previously with Pete Carroll. And I wonder how that relationship continues to move forward. Does it become at all contentious, or is it just going to be a shaping of that team in his imagination and the way that he likes it? We'll see how that goes. Another thing around the NFL, Roger Goodell.
Oh.
I just said his name.
I know what you're going to say.
I just said his name. Oh. But in addition to, you know, the more international games, he wants to save 16 international games a year. That's the goal for him. But also, the 18 regular season game thing that we all feel is evident that it's going to happen. He says that he hopes that they will have 16 international games within 5 years and that the expansion to a regular season of 18 games happens within 5 years. I think we're seeing the negative effects that pop up with the more games added, and I don't look forward to the point when we have 18.
It just feels dirty. It just feels not dirty. It just feels wrong. Injuries, of course, are the biggest part of that. That is asking a lot out of people, man. 18 games. And then he also said, well, we have 17 and 3 preseason games. He could envision it going from 18 to 2. How about one or none
of the preseason games?
Of the preseason
games. Oh, they would love that if we just do a 20-game regular season.
No, 18 with no preseason games.
But just here's the thing.
I have a little consideration for the health of these guys.
I never thought that I'd get to this place. But the coaches have always told us, no, these preseason games are super vital for building our teams and stuff. And I was like, all right, man, how much do you need to see? And I've gotten to a place where I'm like, yeah, actually, I would like more preseason games. Also, if for no other reason, to just get these guys ready to play. It feels more and more nowadays like that these early season games are in additional preseason games where they're still feeling stuff out about their team that in years past, through their training camp and through preseason, that you would have some level of figuring out to where you hit the ground running week one with an understanding of what your team is.
Couldn't disagree more. Okay. Because we live in a place in the NFL where, first of all, this isn't college where there is a longer off season and the guys go home and all that.
You start right off the ground.
Right. While they do go home in the NFL, they're generally at the facility a lot. It's a full-time job. They come back for mini camps and OTAs.
They are
limited, but in a place where you can have, to me, the thing that matters the most are these inter-squad practice, joint practices, because you can, it's basically a preseason game without a crowd. They go full bore against another team. That's all you need, man. That's all you need. And of course, coaches are going to say, yeah, we want preseason games. What else are they going to say? It's another chance to evaluate and maybe get a little better. But these guys, full-time professionals that are in, get paid a lot of money to be in shape, have all these, even if they're limited, all these extra practices and ways to get better, inter-squad practices, joint practices. You don't need them.
But you also know that there's significantly less of those than there were in the past. Less time to refine, and ultimately, I think for the product, when you're putting out a product, you want to put out the most refined product possible. And at this point, they're trading the quality for the quantity.
I'm gonna paraphrase Jerry Jones. They all have that sun in their eyes. They all have that that preseason or no
preseason.
Sure,
but you're talking about the two. This is one of the things that's interesting, Nick Wright was getting to when he was talking about the basketball side of this. It's the two masters that sports are trying to serve. You're talking about competitive. Mm-hmm. I'm talking about product.
Yeah.
And I think that that's the distinction for me. But, I mean, ultimately, we know this is going to happen, so we just kind of got to find a way to get okay with it. Real quick before we go, a couple of things. The Chiefs signed Spencer Schrader and officially put Harrison Butker on IR for that big-time matchup with the Bills.
Mm-hmm.
And in that game, Dalton Kincaid has been ruled out. So go ahead and adjust your fantasy team.
I did.
Okay, you're welcome. But yeah, Dalton
I already
Kincaid.
Did.
So yeah, that really does stink for the Bills because it feels like that would have been a real useful piece against the Chiefs team that just seems to keep getting it done.
Yeah.
You talk about luck, which I know people don't like getting into, but the Chiefs, crazy on third down.
Yeah.
Like, it's just been a lot of making it happen on third down because Patrick Mahomes is Patrick Mahomes.
Mm-hmm.
All right, that's around the NFL here in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610. Coming up next. All right, well, this is Anxious Reggie popping out possibly. A concern was raised for me by the injury report. Am I just being over-anxious, or is this a thing that has you guys thinking as well? 713-572-4610. I'll tell you what it is next.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Happy Football Friday to you. Hope you are living good out there. Wherever you're listening, however you're listening, thanks for making myself, John Lopez, and Byron Matthews on this Friday part of your Football Friday. Texans gearing up for a Monday night football game versus the Cowboys, and because it's Monday night, we're going to do the thing again where we point to the fact that it's a shifted schedule. So today, even though it's a Football Friday, is kind of their Thursday. It means yesterday was their Wednesday, and it was the first practice that they had of the week. And, of course, when you get out there practice, we get the practice report and the injury report like as well. And with the injury report, there was a couple of things that, I mean, we knew, but it just seeing them, you know how sometimes you know some, you see it, and it's just like, oh, yeah, that's right.
Oh, no.
Yeah. And I feel
it's
like
time to overreact.
Well, I don't know. I don't even know if I'm going to overreact, but I definitely had concerns. And it's something that we've talked about quite a bit this season. And it's about your defensive backfield, your cornerbacks, because Derek Stingley Jr. didn't practice, and he's designated with the hip. Now, I know Aaron Wilson kind of talked about that. It's not major.
Yeah.
It's probably not going to be something that stops him from playing, but shows up as a DNP for Thursday's practice. And then remember that Kamari Laster left the game against the Lions with a concussion. He did not practice, and the likelihood is, just spitballing here, that when you're in a concussion protocol, you're probably not playing that next week unless you're Jalen Hurts and he pops right back out there. Or that one time that Josh Allen might have been concussed and he just kept playing, right?
I guess quarterbacks
have a different concussion protocol.
Yes.
I don't know.
Yes.
But when it comes to everybody else, which Kamari Lassiter would fit into, you might not be there. And so, yeah, those are your two cornerbacks that you really trust. The top two cornerbacks, very good cornerbacks, a huge parts of this really, really good defense for the Texans.
Mm-hmm.
And all of that comes up against a team that has CeeDee Lamb, who has very quickly become one of the best wide receivers in the league. In fact, if you could help me out here, Byron, this is head coach D'Amico Ryans yesterday talking about the challenge that CeeDee Lamb poses.
Yeah, CeeDee, man, so explosive. Starting with just him in the slot, like his ability to just run after catch is just, he's an exceptional player, right? He can align everywhere on the field. Like, he aligns outside, he can take the shot outside, the go balls, but he also gets inside. They move him around a lot. The coaching staff does a really nice job of just putting him in a lot of different spots where you have to have great eyes for where he is at all times, because he is their top playmaker, and he's proven even when eyes are on him, he can still make plays. So it's a big task for us, stopping CD, but it's going to take everybody. It's not going to be about one person stopping him. It's going to take everybody on the defense.
So this is a concern. You know, there aren't a lot of concerns when you're facing the Cowboys team that is struggling and is such a bad place right now. But the one place where you've been vulnerable, now not so much against the Lions, but keep in mind the Lions are an entirely different type of offense in terms of how they approach you. Jalen Petrie had maybe his best game as a Texan, but that's as an attacking guy that, you know, against an offense that puts the extra tackles in and all that. Cowboys don't do that as much, and the Cowboys rely on CeeDee Lamb, and they're gonna try to.
They have to. That's the best player on their offense.
Yeah,
right now.
And they're
maybe
gonna
the best player.
They're
on
gonna
the
try
team,
to stretch you out, spread you out, all that good stuff. Jeff Okuda's coming back from an injury too.
He is.
Now, he was limited in practice, but still coming back from an injury.
But also Jeff Okuda, I don't know. Where he's going to use him. I don't know what to expect from him.
Exactly.
Like, we just haven't seen him play football, and plus he's coming back from an injury. What mm-hmm. does that football look like, even if you knew what to, or if you had an idea of what you expected from him?
Yeah. So that's happening. And then you got Petrie in a different sort of space defensively than he was against the Lions when he played so well. So, and he has been exposed in some of these backs out of the backfield, tight ends, you know, covering people in the middle of the field. And on top of that, I mean, Lassiter's not going to play. I mean, there were very few things but I would venture to say Lassiter.
You'd put money on it.
Yeah, you can put money on it. He's not going to play. So
You'd put money on it.
I would put money on it.
Okay, I just want to make sure. I said you'd put money on it. It's like, you can put money on it. That's not the same thing.
Don't get in my wallet. But so there's three key elements right there that are going to be looked at completely different.
Yeah, and so, and you heard D'Amico Ryans there talking about, and rightfully so, that they also move him around. CeeDee Lamb early on was a slot guy, and he absolutely operates out of the slot in addition to kind of operating as an X or whatever, or Z or what have you. He'll still get in that slot as well, and that's one of those things that ever since week 3 versus Minnesota, was like, oh, wow, yeah, great players in the slot. Could be an issue. But also now you're calling Kadar Holman into action if Kamari Lassiter indeed does not play, and that was the guy that they turned to when Kamari went out. Like, what is that going to look like?
Mm-hmm.
You know, so that's a place where I was like, oh, I'm feeling a little concerned. But am I being over-anxious? Because in addition to CeeDee Lamb being that guy, I also know at quarterback, it seems very evident that they're going to Cooper Rush.
Mm-hmm.
And what I know about Cooper Rush is that he executes what they ask of him well. Like, he goes and he just runs the offense. Probably the consummate meaning of game manager.
Yeah.
But when he throws a football, I've often said this, it looks like the football hails a taxi and gets in it and then drives over to the receiver. Like, it just doesn't go with pace.
Yeah.
And so I'm wondering are my concerns about this cornerbacks against CeeDee Lamb and the potential problems that he can cause, is that overstated just because I don't know how well they'll be able to throw the football, especially Cooper Rush, as he's not a super mobile dude against the pass rush in the Texans that will heat him up.
Yeah, no, that's the one saving grace. I said it's a concern because it is, because just warm bodies are not there. You know, you don't have the guys that you would normally rely on, but that's the saving grace. You know, Cooper Rush is just not, I mean, he was just awful. Like just awful.
Yeah.
And got heated up, as you talked about.
Yeah, he's a don't mess it up guy,
yeah.
Right? And
yeah.
If you have things around him, he will not mess it up, right? The high floor, low ceiling, mm-hmm. I guess, is a way that you could say it. That's what you're dealing with there. But that's an inexperienced offensive line. I don't know that they know what they're doing left tackle-wise, which, hey, that bodes well for whoever's rushing off the right. It might be Danielle Hunter off that right, which, whoo, time to add some sacks to the total, Danielle. But, yeah, you look at just the basic idea of CeeDee Lamb versus maybe not your second-best corner. And, I mean, we'll see how practice goes and how the reports continue throughout the weekend. But, you know, your guy, Stingley, who has just been quietly chugging along, mm-hmm. doing what he's supposed to be doing, which is handling business and not having teams throw his way, like, it does make me wonder if you have a continued stretch of them not practicing whatever. Does that then bode to a place where maybe the Cowboys could do something? But I still find myself in a place where I'm like, I still feel good.
Nah.
I still feel good about this team. And I'm trust this. I trust D'Amico Ryans. I trust Matt Burke. I trust this defense. I was just like, oh, that's the one place that we had issues. One of the places that we were talking about at the trade deadline, not having that depth at the cornerback position.
On the other hand, and this bodes well for the Texans as well, have you seen the Cowboys injury report?
Yeah,
they
man.
They had two guards and a tackle either out or limited yesterday. So,
yeah.
You're going to be able to heat them up because these guys are not going to be 100%.
Yeah, I think that they have literally a third of their active roster
mm-hmm.
on the injury report. Now, of course, when it comes to the injury report, there's some guys that they're showing on the injury report that practiced or whatever, limited capacity, those types of things. But yeah, they have a lot of guys showing up on here, including for them, a couple of cornerbacks, a couple of guys that would start that did not practice on Wednesday. Deron Bland, Kalen Carson, who's a rookie, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
Those guys did not practice. You know, you had Jordan Lewis, is another one of their cornerbacks, did not practice, which that bodes well in the other way.
Yeah.
When you look at what we were talking about and that makes this the get-right game
mm-hmm.
for the Texans, the things that they're not great at covering up, and then you have, at least on the first day of your practices, three of your cornerbacks not practicing on the first day.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, man, that feels like that gives you an opportunity to have Nico Collins come back and really go off on people, or Mechie really continue that sharp stretch, or maybe even Tank Dell have an explosion or two.
I'm looking at their offensive line. Chuma Udoga, their tackle. It was limited.
I think it's a real bad sign for them if Chuma Udoga is one of those guys that actually has to play. That's a guy that's like a depth tackle.
But he has played.
He has played.
Yeah.
Don't ask me how well, but that's one of those guys. So, yeah.
Tyler Smith was limited, one of their guards.
Left guard.
Zach Martin did not practice. So,
and I do wonder if that's a vet day.
Could have been.
He's up could've there been. In age.
Mm-hmm.
But, man, there's so many things that feel like the Texans should be chomping at the bit at the opportunity to go out there and face the Cowboys. But I just saw the report, the injury report, and I was like, ooh, both the cornerbacks are on here.
Yeah.
Both of the guys that you anticipate being those lockdown guys are on there. And I know D'Amico Ryans, and maybe that's part of why, in that he's in talking about CeeDee Lamb, he said, well, this is going to be an everybody on the defense thing and trying to slow down and stop
it should
CeeDee
be.
Lamb. And maybe that points to the idea that mm-hmm. Derek Stingley.
I think their tight end was out yesterday, too.
Who, Jake Ferguson?
I think Ferguson was out yesterday as well, or limited. He was one of those. So that kind of
yep,
speaks.
Didn't practice, but he had an illness, which I don't know what to do with those.
I mean, who knows how long that lasts?
Yeah. That's one of those things that probably will clear up by the weekend. But yeah, he also didn't practice, so we'll see what it looks like. But today will be another day that gives us some insight. In fact, today is the day to really look at the injury report and the practice report, because
don't look at Friday.
Friday, which is so Saturday.
Saturday, I mean, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. You did the slide schedule as well, but I feel like we have to talk in layman's terms. But yes, it feels like today will be the day where getting the more physical of the practice, getting that practice report and seeing what it is, will give us a little bit of insight into who plays ultimately on Monday. All right, you're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610. Coming up next, let's talk about what's popping, including a fight that I wanted to pretend like I wasn't going to be interested in, but as we come closer and closer and as more things happen, I'm more interested in. Let's talk about that and more next.
The biggest stories in sports and entertainment. Sports Radio 610 style. In the Loop presents What's Poppin'.
All right, let's get into What's Poppin' on this Friday here in H-Town on In the Loop. You got John Lopez. You got myself, Reginaldo Tula. Byron Matthews sitting in for Figgy Fig, who took the day off to go check out Kids Meals. You know, going to see what's happening at the Kids Meals spot. I don't know what other things he took into account, but shout out to the man going and taking care of the people, doing a little bit of charity work on this day. Also, one of the things that's happening tonight, Rockets will face off again against the Clippers. Clearly, they beat the Clippers on Wednesday, and they'll have the little baseball series that the NBA has taken to try and tamp down on travel in some way. So they'll get they'll get the Clippers again tonight. I believe we got some. Let me check with Spo one more time, because I had it in my head and I was like, oh man, we done talked about some other things since. But yes, there's Fred VanVleet. Seems like he will get a chance to play in this one again. But Steven Adams is listed as questionable. And Jock Landale, as well as Fred VanVleet, are off the injury report.
Yeah.
So, yeah, those guys will play. But, yeah, it looks like Steven Adams, who they're managing that knee as best as possible after, you know, he was coming back off of that injury that sidelined him in Memphis and ultimately while his early tenure in Houston when they traded for him while he was injured. But the other thing that'll be happening during the course of that is the card that is headlined by Mike Tyson and Jake Paul. And they are really selling this fight, aren't they?
Boy, they are.
Like, it felt like they weren't until they were.
Yeah, they absolutely seem to really be selling this. And you know what? It works. It works. It's working on me. We were talking about this last night. I was hanging out with my kids and my wife went to Rodeo Goat and have a nice hamburger and all this other stuff. And just sitting there, like, we're talking about the freaking Mike Tyson fight.
In the year of our Lord, 2024.
Yes.
Correct.
I'm like, and then I kind of stopped myself. I'm like, yeah, I'm in. Yeah, I'm all in.
It's the spectacle, man. Yeah. It's the question of, oh, man, does Mike Tyson still have it? Can that dude that people seem to not like in Jake Paul get knocked out, or will he continue to get away with it? Right. The spectacle of it will draw people in, and I am no better than anybody else. We talked about how on, what was it, Tuesday, they had the press conference for this, and Mike seemed pretty kind of, I don't know.
He was low-key.
He was low-key is the way to say it. And then they went for the weigh-in yesterday, and it was like, oh, okay, so they're going to turn up a little bit as Jake Paul seemingly stepped on Mike Tyson's foot, and Mike Tyson did not take he didn't take kindly to that. He slapped him, man.
He slapped him, which is a huge insult. And we were talking to Byron before the show. Was that scripted? I don't know necessarily it was scripted, like, you know, whatever WWE scripted, but I think they came out of that last press conference and said, what are we doing? We got to get people hyped up. We got to do something crazy. And I think it just kind of happened. You know, they found the moment and they took advantage.
Maybe.
Yeah.
One of the things I wonder if it's just like, Mike Tyson is a man of principle at this point. And that felt like one of those instances where he snapped, which kind of sold the fight more for me in that, hey man, the idea of Mike Tyson, where he talks about he'll bring the devil into the ring with him, and you know, the idea of his mom should be afraid if she was in the ring with him. The idea that flip can switch for him.
Yeah.
And he goes back into Iron Mike mode. That's all I'm asking for, right? If you're going to do it, I would probably prefer for the 58-year-old dude to not box, like, just if I'm trying to be kind to his personal health. But he wants to do it. If you're going to do it, Hey, man, flip my Iron Mike back out here for a second. Like, I didn't get a chance to really watch that live and in person. Mm-hmm. If you just give me a little taste of that in 2024, I'd appreciate it.
I mean, that's what I'm counting on. I mean, I think that's what most people are counting on. That little flashback, that little sense of what Iron Mike used to be. I mean, that's what's selling the fight. I mean, Jake Paul's huge, but Mike Tyson is selling the fight.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For sure. I think there's a little bit of the Jake Paul and the school of Mayweather of like, hey, I'm booking these fights in such a way where you are not necessarily going to see me fight. You're going to see if somebody can beat me up.
Yeah.
And I feel like that's some of the sell there. I do wonder, does this also exist in the cell, or is this just a funny thing that Mike Tyson has done? As Mike Tyson was interviewed by a TikTok account entitled I Am Jazzy's World TV. So Jazzy is a 14-year-old that does some interviews, and she's pretty good at this, I might add. But this was how Mike Tyson talked to a, remember, 14-year-old reporter for her social media.
In your return to the ring for this fight, you are setting a monumental opportunity for kids my age to see the legend, Mike Tyson, in the ring for the first time. So after such a successful career, what type of legacy would you like to leave behind when it's all said and done?
Man, I don't know. I don't believe in the word legacy. I just think that's another word for ego. Legacy doesn't mean nothing. That's just some word everybody grabbed onto. Someone said that word and everyone grabbed on the word, so now it's used every 5 seconds. It means absolutely nothing to me. I'm just passing through. I'm going to die and it's going to be over. Who cares about a legacy after that? What a big ego. So I'm going to die. I want people to think that I'm this, I'm great. No, we're nothing. We're just dead. We're dust. We're absolutely nothing. Our legacy is nothing.
Well, thank you so much for sharing that. That is something that I have not heard before, someone say that as an answer.
Can you really imagine somebody say, I want my legacy to be this way when I... You're dead. Why do you want somebody...
True.
You think somebody really wants to think about you? How? What's the audacity? I think, I want people to think about me when I'm gone. Who the f*** cares about me when I'm gone? Or my kids, maybe, or grandkids.
Yeah,
who the
true.
Fuck cares?
There is not a single part of this that isn't awesome. Like that isn't, it's all awesome. Like, this is a 14-year-old girl. We're dead. We're dust. Like,
yeah.
You'd be like, Dad, I don't want you to die. Sorry, we're going to be dust.
Yeah. Like, look, a little bit of nihilism, right? Like, hey, man, I think that it could be interesting bringing different ideas and perspectives into play. Just the way that he did it, he laid it on thick. Right. It wasn't just that he was like, yeah, man, I feel like legacy is just ego. And, you know, we get a little too caught up in that. I think he's right in that regard, mind you, as well. Like, especially in the sports talk, man.
It doesn't matter.
We're some of the big offenders here where we're always talking about legacy even before somebody is done.
Oh, I got tears in my eyes right now, and I've heard it 7 times.
Right. We talk about legacy before somebody is done, and I appreciate that. He took that all the way.
And then he's dropping F-bombs to this little 14-year-old girl.
But you know what that reminds me of? Like, I think I exist in this space as well. You know the people that, like, do you talk to babies as babies, or do you talk to babies as kids? Or, like, as adults, rather.
Yeah.
Right? Like, I know it feels like more and more people are getting on the idea of like, no, I'm not talking to you like a child. I'm going to talk to you just like another adult.
Yeah.
And it feels like Mike Tyson is very strongly in that I'm going to talk to you like an adult.
You're going to interview me? I'm going to give you an interview. I'm going to give you an interview. But that the whole we're dead, we're dust. This poor girl.
Said, what does it matter? You're gone.
Every part, I could listen to that. You know, people say this a lot of times. Every time I listen to that, I could laugh. No, I will laugh. Every time I hear that thing.
But I think it's worth noting that, to be fair to Mike, he wasn't just doing this for the benefit of Jazzy, the 14-year-old reporter. This is the time that he's been on. Listen to him talk about his boxing titles in another situation.
Look at this stuff. This is history here. You are history.
This is garbage. I say I bled for garbage.
So this is meaningless.
No, at one time it meant a lot. When you're just a young kid, this is everything to you. But then you realize your priorities change. And you just want your children to be happy and do nice things. And that makes you happy. This is nothing.
You know, one thing about Mike Tyson, and I don't think anybody can deny it, he is transparent. I mean,
yes,
he is 100% whatever he's feeling and thinking, he's going to say. And you know what? That includes with 14-year-old TikTok girls that are doing an interview.
Incredible.
We're dust.
Like, I almost want to hear the post game or post fight interview more than the fight itself.
Oh, yeah.
But all that happens tonight. I believe the undercard starts at 7. And so,
what time is he actually going to fight?
That's a great question.
Like, is it three undercard fights? I think there's three. I looked at it yesterday when we were having our hamburger over there. And
yeah, it looks like there's three undercard fights. And then it seems like there's also another preliminary card as well. We'll see how long this goes. Mm-hmm. Also, I'm interested to see how Netflix pulls this off because it's going to be on Netflix. Netflix has done a few live event type things. The first one was the Chris Rock special when they dropped, and that one did not go well at all, and it's progressively gotten better. I want to see just how strong it's able to hold up here because this is going to be a real test. I think a lot of people are interested in that. I'm interested to see how the actual platform holds up.
And for those of you who are younger, and you alluded to this, how many actual Mike Tyson fights in his prime did you see?
Who, me?
Yeah.
I can't say that I actually saw any of them live.
Byron?
Can't. Zero.
I'm telling you, man. Muhammad Ali and Mike Tyson, and there were some others you could argue, there is nothing like the spectacle of one of those things. Like the lead up, the actual fight, the walk in the ring, the fight itself. There is nothing like it on the planet. And I think that alone, just kind of capturing that, is going to be worth watching.
Yeah, I'll have to listen to the people that have been there, like Boxing Insiders and such, and just boxing fans, and see like how this compares to that time, because it'll be interesting. But I will be watching. I am not too big for that. Now, if you're a fight fan, this ain't the only thing that's available for you, the spectacle. There's real fights happening. John Jones, Stipe Miocic have a heavyweight UFC bout on Saturday on ESPN+. I'm not big UFC guy. That one's just a little bit far for me. I still remember like one of those fights where you just have like the octagon covered in blood, and I'm just a little squeamish for that. But if I understand correctly, obviously John Bones Jones, right? Like one of those high level fighters in the game, and Stipe Miocic, a name that is well known as well. But this one feels like it's like 4 years late, like 4 years to come to pass in some ways, almost feeling like the Mayweather Pacquiao in some ways. So I hope this delivers for the UFC fight fans that get into this one, because I remember the feelings that I had once Mayweather Pacquiao eventually came back around, which I fell for it.
Yeah.
I was like, man, this is happening so late that it's almost not worth the fact that y'all are doing it.
No, I'm not going to say I'm going to be all plugged in on that. I'm going to kind of pay attention peripherally, but that's about it. But I think you're absolutely right. Maybe could have happened earlier.
And one more thing before we go. Lindsey Vonn apparently is coming out of retirement. She is the skier, winter sports contender. I believe she's 40.
One of the more famous, if not the most famous.
Absolutely.
Downhill skiers.
Absolutely.
Giant slalom and a super G skier. 40 years old, coming out of retirement. And my big question is why? She hasn't competed since 2019. Her body is a wreck. Like, does she need money? I mean,
that's always the question when you hear folks come back to the thing, man.
It's wild. Since 2016, she's torn ligaments in her knee, fractured her tibia, which no thank you, suffered two ACL tears, an MCL tear, a meniscus injury, a broken wrist, and several broken fingers. Why?
You love the game, man. These athletes built different, I guess, man. They just love this thing so much. But it feels like she's in a place where you got. I mean, if you need money,
she can make all the money. Yeah, she can make money.
Yeah,
she's a darling, you know, with marketers. I don't understand. Maybe it's just competition.
Love of the game.
Yeah.
More power to you. Shout out to Lindsey Vonn making the return back. There you go. That's what's popping here in the loop on Sports Radio 610. I personally am going to the Rockets game. I'm going to be so excited. Although I feel like I'm now going to have to figure out how to put this Netflix. I might just have it on the laptop, but also like I should probably be paying.
Well, the reason I was asking, you might catch it after the game.
Yeah, it might be like an 11 o'clock kind of where you actually get the fight started, as sometimes happens in boxing. We'll see. We'll see how it plays out. I'll play it by ear. But right now, coming up next, when it comes to finding answers for this offense, could the offensive solution just be CJ going full send? We'll discuss that.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app, and wherever you get your podcasts.